Yes, this is an overview. I like doing overviews because it helps me to think about where we've come from and where we're going to. There were several things going on over the last few weeks, one of which was Thy Kingdom Come. You remember we did show the video of the Archbishop of Canterbury and his call to people to pray Thy Kingdom Come. I got quite excited about that because I thought, here is this lovely man. Actually, you know, if you just sat and listened to him, it was such a lovely man who wanted the church to be united in prayer. So that was inspirational to me. So we've been meeting to pray this prayer. We met every day. Well, we met as a church every day. We didn't all meet every day. We popped in and out as we could. Some of you I know found that was just an impossibility. So in a way, I want to pull together some of the thoughts I had because they're related to Ascension, Pentecost, and where we are now in the church. So what do we mean by praying for God's kingdom to come? I'm going to move over here, all right. This one, is it a bit of a sort of an ethereal thing? Is it praying for some vain, distant hope that God's kingdom will come one day? Or even thinking, well, actually we know it will, and that's it. Or is it a prayer that there'll be a sudden influx of people into the church, into our church? The church will suddenly be filled with people of different ages, lots of children. Is that our prayer? And of course, in a way it is. That's what we want. Is it a prayer for them out there? Is it a prayer for the world? Well, actually, yes, it is. Please, Lord, your kingdom come throughout the world. Some of the things that are going on. This country in such a mess, really, at the moment. We could pray that as well. It's so wide, isn't it? What is it that we actually hope for? What is it we expect? And is it all for them out there? What about us in here? What about the kingdom coming in our lives to a greater degree than it does? Yeah. And so we moved on to Pentecost. And actually, this was alongside the idea of the kingdom coming. We considered the first prayer time actually in the upper room. We thought how actually it was at the first of the kingdom come prayers that we said, how would they be feeling, these new apostles being sent? How would they be feeling? What was their attitude? And here we had them. There would have been a sense of fear. What is gonna happen? Praying for courage and protection. Lord, here we are in this upper room. There are Romans against us. There are Jewish leaders against us. Anybody at any time could come and get us and cause, well, the end of our lives, really. And yet, you've got us here in this place to pray, to be ready. Are we ready? Are we ready? What are we ready for? Are we available? Can we be available to this God and to what it is Jesus wants for us? Are we open? Are we open to the Spirit of God at work in our lives? That was them then, all of these prayers going on. And Andrew reminded us that God's Spirit came to the disciples as they were together, waiting expectantly, prayerfully, fearfully. And we went through this reading. I unashamedly bring the same reading to you. Please notice those white words, though. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in total bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. And utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them speak in our own native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And actually, sometimes we forget this, that the tongues were given in order to communicate to the people around. It was for this exact situation. So this amazing gift was there to give the opportunity for the disciples to respond to the questions and to expand on it. Hey, the Messiah's come. This is it. So there was the gift of tongues for the opportunity to start building the church. So why have I gone back to that? It's really because I'm saying, what about us? How are we feeling here and now? We've heard some wonderful things this morning, haven't we? But what do we pray as we gather together? We prayed for the coming of the kingdom, for the 10 days. But what does that actually mean? Do we really have similar feelings to the disciples as they became apostles? Do we have all of these things? Are we a bit fearful? I remember when we called Andrew, part of me said, actually, I feel quite excited, but I'm dead scared, because I can see it's going to mean more of me into the situation. People are nodding. That's exactly the way we felt. And there is this sense, isn't there, that we need the courage to face up to the fears that we've got inside us. Whether it's the fear that I'm too old for all this, let's face it. Whether it's a, hang on, whether it's a protection, really, against all of these anxieties that creep in. Are we really ready? Can we be ready? Do we have to pray to be ready? Are we available? And are we open to the new thing that God may be doing? Thank you. This verse is tremendous from Isaiah 43. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert, in the wilderness, and streams in the wasteland. Here in Seir Green, is that going to happen? Or were they just words? Are they actually former things that we've forgotten? How do we hold on to that as a promise for us for now?" It always thrills me because parallel to this, just a couple of chapters further on, come these words. "Remember the former things." This is a contradiction. We've got to forget the former things. "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there's none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come." So there are some things we need to forget, but some things we need to remember. We need to remember that we have a God who is great. and that he has an opening for the here and now. He has a new thing to be done. And I've got a whole load of questions for you now. And I don't know the answers to all these questions. They're questions just to give to you as it seems fit. When you just think of them, maybe there's a question here that just gets deep into your heart. And that's fine. Just hold on to it. So the first of the questions, well, it's not really, this is an introduction to the questions, all right. Are we really ready for God to do a new thing? And what might it look like, this new thing? Will it be the same as the New Testament church new thing? There might be similarities. There might be same things, but exactly the same. I was just thinking again that God sent tongues to that early church for that situation, for that day, to those people gathered in Jerusalem. So are we ready? Are we ready now to have our preconceived ideas removed? In a sense, last Sunday, I was a bit disappointed because I thought, well, what will happen if we're praying for the Holy Spirit to come in? Will there be outpourings of the Spirit here and now? Will something happen today? And I guess we all come with expectations of what might happen. So we need to have our preconceived ideas challenged, really. Also, what will make us able to communicate more effectively into our community? We're doing some fantastic things. Who let the dads out? The numbers increasing. The ladies' night. People listening and responding. Toddlers. Week after week after week. And new people coming in and just getting those little hints that something might be happening. Seniors. People who are smiling, who used never to smile before, you know? And someone saying, I don't know about inviting Jesus into my life, but I might be able to walk alongside him a little way. Hey, what will happen if they start walking alongside Jesus? How, what will happen to make us communicate more effectively? To be honest, I was thinking, we don't actually hear what each other says, whether you've got a bad ear or not. Because we presume the other person is saying what we think they're saying. And that can happen out in the world, and it can happen here too. I know David said at the Alpha course, he was really surprised at the things some people were saying. He couldn't believe that people thought like that, spoke like that. And it's true, isn't it? We think people think like us. And I tell you, even in the church, people don't think like us. I don't think like my husband, and he doesn't think like me. Yeah, you should have seen us in the garden yesterday. Whoa! And it's true, isn't it? We need to find the key. That letterbox on that picture, Sue, was amazing because I suddenly realised that. Oh, right. It's the crossbar of a cross. How do we use it? And somehow we have to have an openness, don't we, to be able to communicate more effectively. I just want to say as well, open the book really scares me when we do Pentecost. Bill, it's terrible. Jana's got these little headdresses. And when the Spirit comes and the fire falls on the people, we have to put on these headdresses. I'm doing a sickie this year, all right? Because they're bands like this, and little flames up here. It's just like an Indian headdress, really. And you think, oh my goodness. Just trying to explain what it might have looked like to the children. And then we have the gift of tongues. Now, Well, it might as well be in the case of Bill, actually. We're all sent out around the hall, and we're supposed to speak in a different language so that different people might understand. And Jana's translated that as speaking French, German, whatever, Scottish. And that presumably someone in amongst all of that will understand what we're saying. So that's dead scary, isn't it? And does it communicate anything? You have to then say. We try to communicate things to people. We try in different ways. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Okay. So, yeah, that was the other thing. I needed to say this. What is prayer? You know, we think we know what prayer is. Communicating about prayer is very interesting. Because there are so many people who think that it's okay to pray the Lord's Prayer, that's prayer. It's okay to take some sort of written prayer that's official, and that's prayer, and that's okay. But is talking to God as you go around your daily life and asking him for his help, is that prayer? There are so many people who think that's valid, but it's not actually prayer. And here's another misunderstanding, you see, isn't there? You know, a preconceived idea about what prayer is. And that might be something we can talk about. Just as if you were writing a list here, you could say, what about talking about what is the kingdom of God? I think there's quite a long series on that, Andrew, so you'd be well sorted. All right. Right, so shouldn't it be that we need to recognise the gifts that we have around us and recognise our own gifts? It was really good speaking again to David. Your top of my hit list this morning, David, because he said, I said how it was so good that he can give an overview, explain what's going on, and we all understand, particularly about money, all right, but about other things as well. And David said, that is my gift. And it is. And to be able to say, that is my gift, is a tremendous thing. What is your gift? Is there one thing that you say, that is my gift? That's a question for you. Yeah, and recognising the gifts we have and praying, thy kingdom come here amongst us. Is Jesus King of the kingdom of Seer Green Baptist Church? Is he? And do we actually agree with what Debbie says, that actually we're all involved in this? In the ladies' night, that we're all involved in some way or another in toddlers, that we're all involved in whatever's happening, not actually here in this building, but on behalf of the Baptist Church. Are we really fully engaged with that? How can we make that happen more? And how can we really believe that this is the kingdom? And this is a biggie, this one. Can we assess, is Jesus, and it's about number five down, is it? Assess, is Jesus really King of my life? Now, we've been singing some quite powerful things this morning about Jesus. We sang, I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. We used to sing, here I am. Wholly available. And my question is this, really. It's a question to me. We can get stuck on a decision we took years ago. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. We can get stuck there. We can say, I made my decision. Now, I'm saying maybe there's a time for us all to stop and take a step forward. Stop, assess where we are. Have I taken Jesus for granted? We like the bit about being heirs with Jesus, but sometimes we're not too keen on the sharing in his sufferings, whatever that is. And do we believe that we're sent? Do we believe we're apostles? Apostles is a big word. We were talking about apostles with Tea and Talk, and apostles were big up there. But actually, the everyday disciples were sent. They were apostles. Do we believe we are apostles? And do I want to actually take that baton? Or frankly, would I sooner run off the course than do anything else? Is there a baton that's being held out to you to pick up? You see, Howard, if you lay one down, you probably have to pick up another in some form or another. So what is walking with Jesus, and who's in control of this situation? And this last thing, it was a phrase that came to me while we were meeting as deacons. Are we at the heart of God's heart? Are we at God's heart, at the heart of our community? We're here, we have all sorts of people coming in, and it's wonderful. People are using our premises. We are reaching out into the community. We're doing all sorts of wonderful things. Don't let me give the impression I don't believe that, because we are. Now, all I'm saying is, how then do we remain open to what God wants to do, the new thing? How will he reach out completely effectively into our community? Do we really want to be God's heart? Are we prepared to be God's heart? Because God's heart is a suffering heart. We're going to go into communion shortly. And what I want to say is this, something I picked up from one of our readings recently, is that God was, from the moment men and women started to go their own way, God's heart was breaking. He was being crucified. Before he ever sent Jesus, deep inside his heart was wounded, that they didn't want him. People didn't want him. And that carried on through the ages, and whatever messengers he sent, it still carried on, that pain, that crucifixion. And then he sent Jesus and said, surely, surely, through my son, people will realise how much I love them. And some did, of course. But still the situation remains today that God is being crucified. Are we prepared to feel that crucifixion deep inside our hearts too? Really desiring to be God's heart into our community, suffering with him, but showing his love. So those are things for you to think about. And here is a prayer. Here is a prayer. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing and will do. Please forgive me for my presumption. Please help me to put you back on the throne. And that's the step forward, I think, that we need to take.